thumb or something, she's the first one to say, "It's okay, it's okay, it's okay." I'm like, "Well, it's hurting." I hear you, but it's hurting. And what I've learned here the last little bit is, you know, if you were to cut off your finger, or if you were to smash your finger with a hammer, both of them's going to hurt. One might take a little bit longer to get over, but they both hurt. And you can't discount either of the hurts. Both of them take a little time to get over. But, you know, I think also in our minds, sometimes our minds get shaken and really pressed and what have you. And so the Bible has much to say about that also. Really just want to look at two verses tonight, maybe read a few, but look at two verses. And this is something that I had a time, I guess, this week. And I know it might sound childish or immature or anything like that, but just going to be honest with you, there's been a few times in the last couple of weeks I felt hopeless. And that's not good. That's not good. It's never good, you know, for the child of God to feel hopeless. We have that hope. We know that. You read it, you hear it, you say it, and to a degree, you know it, but then sometimes you can be so overwhelmed with whatever it is that's going on that sometimes you might feel like you have no hope. Like, where'd your hope go? And that's kind of where the Lord had led me in this study here, just looking at this. And if you want to, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter number 3. I'll read a few verses, but primarily just want to focus on verse 15. And then later on, I want to look at a verse in Romans. There's many, many other verses that could be looked at when you're talking about hope. But the feeling of being overwhelmed is a real thing. And I know I'm probably talking to a room full of people, literally, that in the last few weeks, last year, I mean, what have you, or even different times in your life, you've had that feeling of being overwhelmed. But this is something that the Lord just really led me here. And we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll read verses 13 through 22, because it actually kind of does tie into Sunday's message just a little bit, but then we'll primarily focus on verse 15. And then we'll have our business meeting and absolutely our time of prayer. That's what we have come to do tonight, and I definitely want us to put our focus on that time of prayer and what that means to us. Verse 13, it says, "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is eight, souls were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." At this time, I ask Josh, if you would, to lead us in prayer.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity for us to gather in your house, Lord, and we just thank you for all the many blessings that you have bestowed in our lives, God. I ask that you would just please be with each and every one of us tonight, Lord, and please be with us and grace forth the message, God, and just continue to help us and just be with us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. So we'll look at verse 15 primarily here. Wanted to read all of those verses to give the full context of what we're talking about here. But I think verse 15 is the main text that we need to look at. And it says here, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And I was talking a minute ago about feeling hopeless or being overwhelmed, but the Bible teaches us here that we should always be ready to give the reason why that we have hope. Why, as a child of God, that we have hope? And I really tried to take that to heart and study that. And the first thing that it mentions here is to sanctify. And you look at the word sanctify, I believe we all probably know by definition what it means. And I like to write these down and look at those, because really the message is in the Word. It's in the words that we have. This is God's Word to us, and breaking down those words, I believe, really tells us what the message is and helps us to stay in context. And the first thing that's mentioned here for us to, before we give our reason and before we are settled in our heart, is the condition of what our heart is supposed to be in. And it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." That's the first part. Sanctify means to set apart. That means it holds a special place. And I really tried to think on that today and study on it, because we've heard it said so many times. But truly, if you think that you are, if I ask you if you're sanctified or if you're set apart, or if you have God set apart in your heart and you really got a certain special place for Him, then it can only be used for one thing. If something is sanctified, that means it's set apart for one thing. It's not divided out into multiple things. I believe it's over in James that talks about that our mouth is not supposed to be used for bad things and good things. How can a fountain give forth both bitter water and sweet water? These things aren't to be so, is what the Bible says. So it can't be both. It can only be one. So the first thing we have to realize or ask ourselves is the Lord really sanctified? Is He really set apart in our hearts? Because if He's not, then the rest of this is not going to come together like we want it to be. It's just not going to be there. We first have to place Him where He is and where He's supposed to be, and we're supposed to keep Him in that place and it not be wavering. It's easy to waver over things and be overwhelmed with things and feel hopeless from time to time, but this is, I see here, a remedy for this in the way that we're supposed to put this together. But be sanctified. That means to be set apart. It says here, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man." Always ready to give an answer. The reason of the hope. And if you look at the word reason, that's the cause. That's the why. If you really get down to a lot of things, I know some people ask the question, why a lot. I remember sometimes in training, being an instructor, you just wanted people to take what you said and say, "Yes, that's what I'm going to do." But you had a few students that say, well, why? Well, why? Why do we do that? Well, this is the why, the reason. You know, you should be able to articulate to your neighbor or to a non-believer, to another Christian, to someone that is going through a hard time, you and I should be able to articulate to them the reason why that we have hope. Even when it looks hopeless. Even when it looks like we shouldn't have hope. And you know, sometimes if you're not careful, you might feel like the Lord Himself has abandoned you, because it seems like each avenue you try to take is a dead end. Isn't that kind of disheartening? You ever had to rethink things before? Like, "Lord, are you sure we really want to do this?" Because it seems like every time we get close to the finish line goes way off down the road somewhere and it just doesn't make any sense. Why? How can I have hope under circumstances like that? How can I do that? How can I still have hope? How is it still possible to have hope? But it says here again, to always be ready. That means in any kind of circumstances that we face. And you think about what you faced the last couple of weeks. Were you always ready to give that answer? Were you always ready to confidently say, "This is the reason why I have hope. This is the reason that I have hope"? Now, I looked at the definition. I've read this partially before, but there's more to it. And what I like about this, it doesn't all, just only give the definition of what hope is, but it also gives some compare and contrast, if we're not careful, to what we actually do, what we actually use versus actually putting forth hope. So if you read the definition of Noah Webster, 1828, it says, hope is a desire of some good, accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that it is obtainable. You know, there's those things that we hope for that's like, you know what, I could see this happening. I could see this actually working out. I have hope because in our minds maybe certain things are falling in place that it's like, you know, we're getting closer to the end result that I'm desiring. And so I have hope that this is going to happen. I'm desiring or have a hope that this is going to happen because I see things going that way. I'll go ahead and tell you tonight a very fresh thing that was on my mind just prior to everything taking place the last 2 weeks was the purchase of this land right beside of us. I'm going to tell you, it's not that I had a lack of desire of wanting that or a lack of, if you want to say, hope of getting that, but the odds were stacked against us in that what was already taking place. I mean, everybody was honest. They say, let it over till it's over. It's not done till it's done, but no, it's under contract. I tell you, I mean, that was a hard, in my mind, I'm just being honest, a hard situation because things were actually kind of stacked away. But you know, the Bible says in many different places, but God, but God. It's amazing how He can do things that we can't see, we don't understand. You know, we look at what we have, maybe monetarily, physically, or maybe the friendships that we have, all the associates that we might have that might be able to do this or do that. And you say, well, if I put all them together, I can get this accomplished. It's one thing if you see that, but if you don't have that together, sometimes you might get in a place that you start losing hope. Doesn't mean you don't desire it, but is your hope really something obtainable? Now, this right here is kind of interesting if you take it a step further and how hope differs from a couple of things here. It said hope differs from wish and desire. Now, we should learn from the way the Word of God is lined out for us the terminology that we are supposed to use. If you find yourself saying, boy, I wish this would happen, you might be setting yourself up for failure. Now, it's different to have hope and it's different to have wish. Wish really doesn't have anything to do with God. God don't deal with wishes. That's not how He's not a genie, remember? You've heard that. He's not a genie that He grants you wishes. That's not how it works. But I'll tell you this, He does deal in hope. He knows who hopes in Him. I promise you that. I think there's a little bit of touch on His garment when somebody puts hope in Him that He feels that and said, hey, somebody hoped in me. Think about the woman. The issue of blood, what happened to her? Who touched me? He knew that. How many people touched Him that day, but how many people touched Him in hope? How many people touched Him in faith? And that's one of the things that I see different here. It said hope differs from wish and desire in this, that it implies that some expectation of obtaining the good desired or the possibility of possessing it. Hope, therefore, always gives pleasure or joy. I remember a time, I don't have it written down, don't know the date or time, but I remember over the last couple of weeks, there's a couple of times I thought things were lining up to be taken care of and everything. We've been not getting all kind of business, but trying to work through and get my grandmother's house back together. And by the time you think it's about together, then something else happens. And I got to a place, but I'm just being honest, I was losing my hope. It's like, Lord, why? Like, this can't be. Romans 8:28, remember? Went through that verse not too long ago, maybe a few times, but you get to a hopeless situation and maybe it was more of a wishing that things would be a certain way. If we're not careful, we'll wish for things and we can get our desires in the wrong place. The Bible definitely teaches us that. But we see here, hope therefore always gives pleasure and joy. I remember a time over the last couple of weeks and I can't even explain it. Nothing happened except for all of a sudden, Sister Marilyn, I had hope. I can't really explain why. You know, I just started thinking about things and looking over things, and physically it's like the odds were stacked against us and what have you, but something on the inside says, you still have hope. That's the Holy Ghost. That's a real thing. You know that? That's a powerful thing. If you're the child of God and you're saved and the Holy Ghost comes around you and He interdwells in you and He says, hey, it's going to be okay. You can trust in that. It's going to be okay. It's a beautiful and it's a powerful thing. And how He can do that, and that's the only way I can explain it. It's like, Lord, I'm going to trust You. Praying this morning, I remember, I jotted it down, I wrote it down, I don't know why, but this peace came over me this morning also. And I said, Lord, whatever happens, I'm going to give You credit for it. Whatever happens. Lord, I'm finally, you know how it is, I'm finally at the end of my rope, and sometimes maybe we think we have more rope than what we got, or maybe that's an imaginary thing. I do believe in doing what we're supposed to do and trying to do the things that we're supposed to be responsible and accountable to do, but there comes a time you just can't do anything. Just sit down and watch. Sit down and watch. You think about the people who found themselves in that situation during this storm, during these events. There's just times of people, it's too big, it's too powerful, I can't combat this, I can't go against this. Tell you tonight, church, we can never go against God. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. You might and reject Him in some form or fashion in your heart or what have you, but He will always have more power than we can overcome. It's an amazing thing for us to consider that that power can be for us if we align ourselves with Him. It says here, hope therefore always gives pleasure, joy. I like that. I like it even when things don't look good. I like rooting for the underdog on Saturdays. I don't really watch pro ball, but on Saturdays I love watching. And I'll just basically go down and see what the numbers are. And I hope usually, unless it's the team I like, to see that higher ranked team go down. I don't know. I like to see the underdog win. I do. I like that. I rooted for David. I didn't root for Goliath. I rooted for Appalachian. I didn't root for Michigan. That's just how I am. I like that. But you know, the Bible is full of that. The Bible also says, if God be for you, who be against you? It says here in verse 13 also, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? If we're following God and trusting after Him, He's saying He's going to be there to take care of us. We also see here, and again, to finish out this definition, hope therefore always gives pleasure or joy. Whereas wish and desire, you know what wish and desire give you, Brother Terry? I thought this is interesting because people talk about this a lot. People even take medication for this, and I'm not negating that. I'm just telling you the truth here. But this is how it differs. Hope therefore always gives a pleasure, joy, whereas with wish and desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety. Isn't that something? If you're sitting there wishing, that can come with a lot of anxiety. If you're sitting there just the desiring to have things a certain way, then you get anxious if you don't see it going that way. The beautiful thing that I found out about hope is if you're a logistical type person, that you're used to figuring out all the details to make this thing come together, and that might be your lot and where you work or what you do. You're the figure or outer of the thing. Guess what? When you're dealing with hope, God takes you out of that. He said, your services are no longer needing and trying to figure this thing out because I'm going to do that. He's saying, you just put your hope in me and that'll bring you joy. That'll bring you peace is what the Bible tells us. That's what He teaches us. If we have Him sanctified in our hearts the way that we're supposed to. And the Bible says we're always supposed to be able to give reason of this hope. Be able to give the why. Beautiful thing here, if you look at what the word expectation means, that means to wait for, to look for. You know, for me, once I'm told something, I begin to expect it to happen. If there's somebody, depending on who it is that's telling me, if they tell me something, I start looking for it to see that it's going to happen. You know, how many of you watch the weather? Why do you watch the weather? To know what to what? Expect the next day? They get it wrong a lot, don't they? I mean, they really do. We're talking about this, Brother Norman Ford Church. If that outfit, if the government is controlling the weather, boy, they still miss it. They can control the weather. You think they'd get it right, but they sure can't because they don't control it. It's not theirs to control. But the reason that we have an expectation of something that somebody has told us is because of how much we trust the authority of the person that's telling us. You can take this to the bank when the Lord tells you something, it's going to happen. You don't know how. We don't always have the how. But he's going to work out the details and take care of that. Expectation is founded in some reasons which render the event probable. That means when we start expecting something, we need to have the reason why, the why we expect it. If God promises us things in His Word, then we should expect it to happen. I just don't know how much time we spend in His Word, though. Church, I'm going to be honest, I think a lot of times people spend more time wishing and desiring than they actually do hoping. And then if you start hoping, then you have to say, well, why am I going to put my hope in? Well, it better be God's Word, because that's the only thing you can put your hope in. I love my friends, have the best in the world. I love my church, I feel I have the best in the world. But guess what? There's things you can't guarantee me that God can. And when we see His Word and we take Him at His Word and we say, Lord, I'm going to give You credit because I'm trusting and hoping in Your Word. That's where it's at. You see here how it comes together. We'll see this in the next verse here. But it says here, but with meekness, the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. That means with a softness of temper and then also a reverence. That means to me, when I look at that, why is it like that? There's nothing that we can boast in of ourselves. But with humbleness, with the soft temper, Lord, because we don't know how He's going to work this out. Remember these things? We don't know how. We can't boast, but we sure can be meek and say, you know, I don't know how the Lord's going to work this out, but He's going to, and I trust Him. There's something soft about that even a non-believer, I think, could appreciate and be able to take away from that. Let's look at Romans chapter number 15 for just a minute. Romans chapter number 15. You see how this kind of ties things in together. You talk about the God of hope. You see that in verse 13. But it ties us in even as Gentiles. I thought this was special when I studied this morning and kind of looking through it here, verses 7 through 13 in Romans 15. And it says, wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision or the Jewish for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And that the Gentiles, that you and me tonight, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy toward us. That He allowed us to be able to accept Him, His death on the cross, that it wasn't only for the Jews, but it's for the Gentile alike. That He allowed us to partake in that mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess unto thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again He saith, rejoice ye Gentiles, with His people. He's saying, you can come on and rejoice with us too. You don't have to be a Jewish person. You can rejoice with us also. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud Him, all ye people. He's saying, go ahead and praise Him, and go ahead and sanctify Him where He's supposed to be. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. That's Jesus Christ. Now you look at verse number 13, what it says here. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You remember a minute ago when I said I couldn't really explain it? This was before reading this verse. And the Lord gave me this verse after experiencing it. I was like, that is the hope that He's talking about right there. That's the unexplainable part of it, when we're overwhelmed with things physically and what we see and what we hear and what we experience. There's something that can take place on the inside for the child of God, and that's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's unexplainable. Good luck trying to fully explain that to a non-believer who hasn't experienced it. It's a new thing. It's something hard to explain, but it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. That's talking about at all times, the hard times. You know, when things are going easy, when things aren't happening, bad things aren't happening, and it seems like the refrigerator's filled, the bills are paid, gas is in the car, all the house is put together, everything is all right there. You do have some peace and you do have some joy, but this is talking about the times that everything's not together. That's what it's for, Mom. That's what it's talking about. the times it's not together. He's saying you can still have that as a child of God. You can still have that, this peace and this joy. And what it says here, you have to have this in there. There is a part for you and me in it, in believing. In believing. That's the hardest part sometimes, I think, but if you have the reason down pat, if you have Him sanctified where He's supposed to be, and then you have the reason ready, the reasons ready. There's more than one. You should have more than one reason of hope. The primary hope, the primary reason for my hope is that Jesus died on the cross, He was buried, and He rose again the third day, just like the Bible said He would. That's my primary reason. That's our collective primary reason of hope. Now, you should have multiple reasons of hope outside of that because of what you've experienced through Him in your life. Me, what I've experienced in my life. We should be able to give multiple reasons. But it says here this joy and this peace in believing, in trusting and knowing. Why should we believe Him? Why should we believe anything? Has the Lord done anything for you that causes Him to be worth believing? That's your reason. That's my reason. When the Holy Ghost comes around, wraps His arms around you and says, hey, it's going to be okay. I know it don't look like it, but it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. I've got you covered. I've got you surrounded. You're in Jesus and Jesus is in Him and you can't even pluck Him out of Jesus' hand. You're covered. That's the hope. That's where that hope and peace comes. In believing this, that you may abound in hope. That's a, you know what abound means? A great plenty. If you ever go from feeling like you have no hope to feeling like you have more than hope, that's abounding. That's a great plenty. That's more than what you need. That's what a great plenty is. If you're getting ready for winter and you've done all your gardening and what have you, you want a great plenty. You want to abound. That means there's a lot of taters in the bucket. That's what that means. Let's give a good definition of that. That means there's more in there than you can eat in the winter. And that's what the Lord said He is giving us. When you look at these verses and you look at what the God of hope gives us, that we abound in hope, He's going to give you more than what you need. And then what it says right here, through the power of the Holy Ghost, that's what makes it special. You can read all those things on the pages. You can look at that and you say, boy, that is something. That's amazing what He did for old David back there. That's amazing what He did for old Daniel back there. It's amazing what He did for Noah. Boy, that's amazing. But when the Holy Ghost dwells in your heart and He does it for you, you say, I know it's amazing because He's done it for me too. That's why we have hope. When you start having hope versus wishing, you know He can accomplish what you need accomplished. Now here again, I'll say it again. Us list takers, you might as well just wad that up. Because He's going to do it in ways that you can't explain. Because if you can write it down, then you might try to take credit for it. But He's going to do it in a way that you can't take credit for it. He does it in a way that He and only He can get credit for it. That's why He is so special. And that's why He's God. And that's why He's all-knowing and all-powerful. And that's why He's my reason. That's why He's my number one reason. I'm going to stop right there tonight, and I'm going to did this a couple of weeks ago, but I'm going to ask tonight, does anybody have anything they'd like to say tonight? Word, testimony, or anything before we go forward?
You know, the hope the world has is a question mark.
Yes.
But the hope that we're talking about here